As we look at the text that was read by our sister Tanika, Isaiah chapter 9, I want to observe as our team, the Christ of Christmas over crises. The Christ of Christmas over crises. I want all the intercessors to just pray me up all over this place. Just pray my strength in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We are in a season of great festivity. It is a season that is heavily loaded with all kind of commercial activities, giving the house a good cleaning, baking up all the nice stuff, cooking, and all the wonderful things. And as a matter of fact, every Christmas season here, look forward for the nice cakes that I get from some of you members. I eat them breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And midnight snack. And don't talk about the 3 a.m. wake up. Believe it or not, church, quite often, sometimes we can miss the real purpose of our celebrations. Not only that, but we have allowed ourselves to be so caught up in our own cultural expressions of the season without putting our celebrations in proper perspective. And this morning, I want for us to understand that the reason for the season is about Christ. It's about the Christ of Christmas triumphing over crises. Hallelujah. As we look at the text before us in Isaiah chapter 6, I want to give us a little background and a context that we can appreciate the theme. Israel was in a dark and gloomy time. Hallelujah. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 7 through verse 12, the prophet was dealing with what could be called the Assyrian crisis. If we were to look at the previous verse before chapter 9, we will see that it was a time where the king and his people were worried to death. Anybody ever worry themselves? Smush that you feel like you're going to die. They were worried because there were some threats of conquering Judah. Sadly, they were later conquered by the Assyrian power because of unbelief. Church, this created an atmosphere of gloom. It created an atmosphere of darkness and despair. Anybody ever experienced these? Imagine yourself looking around and all you can see is trouble. Hallelujah. All you can see is darkness. All you can see is gloom of anguish. And no sign of hope. That not sound like 2020. Hallelujah. But God sent a word in the middle of the crisis. I said, God sent a word in the middle of the crisis that was going on. There is something about when God sent a word. Oh, Lord, have mercy. There is something about when God releases a rhema word. A word for the time. A word for the hour. A word for the season. When we are going through a crisis. His voice, songwriter says, Come on, help me, church. His voice makes a difference. When he speaks, he releases our troubled mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Marissa. Loose me. As chapter 9 opens, the prophet is saying, this gloom, Holy Ghost, will not last forever. In the midst of a crisis, chapter 9 opens by prophesying and declaring that this gloom will not last forever. Hallelujah. I want to join Isaiah and prophesy to you now, church, that the gloom and despair of 2020 will not last forever. The picture of total gloom, which closed the preceding chapter, gives way to a picture of brilliant light. Things will be bad in the aftermath of the Assyrian crisis, but they wouldn't be bad forever. Things may be bad in the aftermath of 2020, but things would not be bad forever. There is hope. There is hope. Hallelujah. God's plans would be carried out. Hallelujah. A time would come, Isaiah says, when darkness would be dispelled by light. Gloom would be replaced by God's light. And so I come to tell somebody in the house that there is hope in the horizon. In the midst of what we are up against, I come to tell somebody that our God is a crisis specialist. Our God is a problem specialist. Our God is a pandemic specialist. Our God is an epidemic specialist. We come to announce him to the WWW, the World Wide Web, that Jesus Christ is still upon his throne. He is the hope for the nations. That is the reason for our celebration. And it's against that backdrop. Halabosha. Kindorobokosata. It is against that backdrop that Isaiah prophesied. Herobosha. Halabakoshata. Hallelujah. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, help me, church, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. He is our King and our Shield. As we look at the text this morning, the first part of verse 6, I see a prophetic announcement. Isaiah prophesied the coming of a Christ, the Christ over national crises, global crises. Isaiah is announcing that this Christ will bring hope. Somebody shout hope. This morning, a commander is a prophetic anointing that he is the Christ over Corona. Hallelujah. He is the Christ of Christmas
over every crisis. Hallelujah. He defeated hell, death, and the grave. And that's our message to the nation, that this Jesus that we celebrate is Christ over crises.
It's a prophetic announcement. I want for us to understand that when Isaiah wrote this specific chapter, this was somewhere between 701 to 681 BC. Now, this is remarkable in a pastor. Hallelujah. Because it is about 700 years, Brother Mary, good to see you, before the birth of Jesus Christ. Over 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, that this was prophetically announced. It must be noted also that there are several other instances, church, in the Old Testament that announced and mentioned the coming of the Messiah. Church, this shows us, hallelujah, that our Christian faith is of great validity. That the prophets of the olden days, hundreds of years before a thing can be manifested, could have spoken under the unction of the Holy Spirit that this was to come. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, this prophetic word was fulfilled. You see how long it took that this word become manifested. It therefore means, and I want to stop long enough right here to let us know that when God release a word, I feel God in the house. When God release a word, sometimes, Sister Laureen, there may be a time gap. It may seem like a word that is not in season. But I come to tell you that surely his words will come to pass. For there is a fullness of time that will manifest that whatever God has prophesied, whatever God said, even if you're in a crisis, even if you're in trouble, even if you're going to tribulation, even if you're going to the battle, when God speak a word, it shall surely come to pass. It shall manifest. God's calendar can't lie. God's agenda must come to pass. The mind of God. The mind of God is bigger than my mind. I come to tell somebody who feels like God forget them. Wait, I say upon the Lord, and be of good cheer. Be of good courage. Be of good courage, for an appointed time shall come unto us. A child is born unto us, a son is given. It came to pass centuries of years after it was prophesied. We thank God for this prophetic fulfillment. We thank God that our God is not a God with a bag of chat.
Hallelujah. But he's a God of his words. This verse, I want to break it down. This phrase, it may seem like repetition, but I believe that the author is quite intentional for a clearer understanding of Christ. And I want for us to get Isaiah's point this morning. Two things that Isaiah raised up here. Isaiah, the first one, is prophetically announcing that there will be a birth. Yes. That there will be a birth. One that will shift the gloom that the people were in. He is reminding Israel that the victory bringing Messiah would be born. Is there a praise in the house for that? The word birth really emphasizes humanity. It emphasizes humanity. Birth speaks about humanity. Our Jesus was prophesied to be 100% man. Hallelujah. Theoretically, Pastor, the Messiah could have been an angel, or the Messiah could have been God without humanity. 100% God alone, no humanity. But church, neither of these options would have qualified him, hallelujah, to be our Savior. Neither of these options would have qualified him to be the high priest as Jesus was. The one who will bring national hope had to be born. The one who will bring national hope had to be born. The one who will bring hope had to possess humanity. He had to be a human. Church, Christ took upon himself. He took upon himself flesh. Paul captured this in Philippians chapter 2. Paul said, he humbled himself and was found in fashion as a man. The writer of Hebrews also captured this. He was in all points tempted. Yet, hallelujah, he had no sin. Hallelujah. He was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. He was 100% man. Church, Jesus hungered. He thirsted. Jesus, the scripture show us where Jesus grew weary because he was human. Jesus had to feel what humanity feels. Hallelujah. In order for him to be our high priest, in order for him to be our advocate, he had to feel human pain and grief and anguish. So he had to feel our reality. This qualified him to be the sympathetic Jesus. This qualified him to be a sympathetic Jesus. Someone said, I can relate to a God who wept, for Jesus himself wept. You see, if Jesus couldn't relate to our feelings, then how that would have qualified him to be touched by the feelings of our, if him can't relate to our feelings, this is great news for us, that Jesus feel my pain. This is great news for us, that when we pray, Jesus feel the grief. This is great news for me, that when I get weary, Jesus understand. This is great news for me, that when I can't put words to my prayer, that the Holy Ghost come alongside me and intercedes with groanings that words cannot express. This is great news that I feel when I'm down and out and lonely. He feels what I'm going through. Christ was a man, and he had to be a man because he had to die in a man's place. He had to bear man's sins. He had to feel man's pain. He was a man. Just give me a little space up here, please. The second point that Isaiah raised up from this phrase is that although he is 100% man, he is 100% God. Come on, give God praise right there. Unto us a child is born. And that suggests his humanity. For a child being born suggests that he's a human. But the flip side now, unto us a son is given. That means even before he was born, he existed. And therefore, when he came through his mother bird canal, he was given. He took on humanity. In other words, he always existed. He was 100% God. And when he came through earth, he attained his human robe. He is 100% God. He forgives sin. He is the creator. His name is assigned equal standing with God. We serve 100% man and 100% God. The evidences are there in the Bible that our God is God, yet he is man. That's a big and great combination that qualifies us to make sacrifice on our part. He had to be a man to bear man's sin, but he had to be God to defeat man's sin. He had to be a man to bear man's sin, but he had to be God to defeat God, man's sin. There's no mountain that he won't climb up. Hallelujah. No wall that he won't kick down. Coming after you. Coming after me. He is God. He is our Savior. Holy Ghost, help me right here now. He is our deliverer. Hallelujah. God in his intelligent mind knew exactly what would have made the sacrifice authentic and credible. God knew the remedy for our sin. God knew that we needed a savior, so he orchestrated it in his intelligence and sovereignty, that our Savior will come to redeem us in this fashion. If our greatest need had been information, then God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need was money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need this morning was the forgiveness of sin. So God sent us a savior. God sent us a deliverer. God sent us a restorer. God sent us a healer. God sent us Jesus. God sent us the Messiah. God sent us Jesus, the Son of the Living God. We need Jesus. We need a Savior. Can't even walk without you holding my hands. The mountains too high, the valley too wide, but down upon my knee, down upon my knee, Hanabo Shata, down upon my knees. I've learned to stand. Somebody be on your knees in this season. For he who kneels before God can stand up to anything. He who kneels before God can stand up to 2021. He who kneels before God can make it. I wish I could tell somebody, high five your neighbor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever can't touch, high five them in the spirit and tell them you will make it. You're gonna make it. Girl, you're gonna make it. Charge, you're gonna make it. Miss Quaddy, you're gonna make it. Jesus is with you. You must make it. Because we have a Savior. We have a Savior. In the midst of gloom and in the midst of despair, hallelujah, God demonstrates his identity. And he is with us. So when you're going through gloom and despair, you have a buzz. You have a buzz. Because Jesus is the buzz. Hallelujah. In our crisis. So you don't have to look like your crisis. You don't have to look like what you're going through. You see, somehow you look nice this morning. You dress so beautiful. You look so handsome. Only if you didn't look like what you're being through. Only if you didn't look like what you come through. But you're still here. Woman, you're still there. Man, you're still there. You're still here. God keep you. Send a Savior. Save me. Save me. Save me. Online people, God saves you. Not only from the text, we see his prophetic announcement. Lord, I'm trying to take it easy up here. But we also saw in the text his prophetic authority. Some scholars believe that Jesus, that Isaiah, when he said, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Some scholars believe that Isaiah speaks of rulership, dominion, and power. And that Isaiah is pointing to the ultimate reality that Jesus Christ will rule the king as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But the Hebrew phrase used in the text for the word government is an expression that is used in the Near East in the climax of a marriage ceremony. I need a bride, some nice bride. Come Tanika. Need a bride. Let's do this demonstration. It's a prophetic one, too. 2021, we prophesy. Better lift your hands and receive it, yeah? The pastor is in agreement. Put it on So, church, in the Jewish wedding ceremony, a veil is used to cover the face of the bride. Near to the end of the wedding, the bridegroom will remove the veil from the bride's face and throw it over his shoulder. In his gesture, the groom, if we're not done yet, and the gun. Yes. In this gesture, the groom is making a public declaration that the government of his bride will be upon his shoulder. In other words, it will be his honor and privilege to now be her protector and provider. He will protect her heart and provide her all the love and affection to her. The government being upon Jesus' shoulder is believed to reflect this same custom of the Messiah showing off the veil of his bride and putting it on over his shoulders. This signifies that her covenant is upon him, all that she would need to survive is his responsibility. He is carrying the burden. He is wearing the responsibility. He is wearing the obligation. He is wearing the covenant. He is wearing everything that his bride will need. He is wearing. It is in his jurisdiction that he execute all that the bride will need. Come to declare, he is in charge of your governance. The bride is the church. We are his bride. And so the government shall be. Jesus has taken off. Hallelujah. The veil. Put it on upon his shoulder. And now, church, Jesus is in charge of governing you. Jesus is in charge of your governance, your well-being, emotionally, financially, physically, academically, socially, psychologically, mentally. He is in charge of your governance. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. Somebody better loose me up, Yasuena. I want to tear through this place, yes, because I come to talk about my God. Hallelujah. He governed me in 2020, and I could walk out into 2021 knowing that the government of my life shall be upon his shoulder. Shoulder represents the strength. It's one of the strongest parts you can carry weight. Come, put up on me. Shoulder, you can carry load. You can carry weight. You can carry things that you can't really carry with your own just one hand. God have you upon his shoulder. He carrying you right now upon his shoulder. Jesus. Akmaoka shakande bosata. Rababa koshata. Ikondorobosa. Mafi kababakosa. Akadu de salon. My feet feeble. Kalababa koshata. My feet weak. But I depend on the shoulder of Jesus. Launch out in 2021 upon the shoulder of my Jesus. He will carry me through. I have hope. I have hope. I have a friend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He will carry me through. He will govern me. He will take care of me. Hallelujah. 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 It's a just government. Hallelujah. Isaiah highlighted. His name can be called Wonderful Counselor. Names in the Hebrew suggested character and identity. So the names mentioned here, my sister, wasn't just a name because a name sound good. Like these days, people just name a child because the name sound good. Some people even name them picnic Corona. Can I name that? Blood of Jesus. Hey, but in the Hebrew culture, name reflected identity. A name reflected destiny. That's why some of us need to reject some names that people might label us as, because names are powerful. Isaiah said his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. In awe, extraordinary, distinctive, mighty God. Mighty is associated with warfare and has to do with strength and vitality. It means having great strength and force and intensity, having might, being powerful or strong. Hallelujah. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father, the idea is that God existed from before time, that he is the source of all eternity. This highlights the fact that Jesus is creator himself. He is the beginning himself. He is the son of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven, things on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Prince of Peace, he is the Chief of Peace. This points to the fact that Christ's administration will be to restore and perpetuate peace. The Messiah has come to promote universal peace to the nations. And we sing that the angels call him Yeshua. Mary called him Jesus. In the zoologists call him the lion of the tribe of Judah. Geologists call him the rock of ages. The publishers call him the author and finisher of our faith. The sailors call him the captain of salvation. In livestock, he is known as the chief shepherd. The professors, the doctors call him the wisdom of God. Government officials and administrators call him the counselor. In government, he is also known as the governor. The prisoners call him deliverer. Carpenters call him the door. In astronomy, he is known as the bright and morning star. In journalism, he is called the truth. Surveyors call him the plan of God. In medical science, he is known as the great physician. The transporters call him the way. The caterers call him the bread of life. The teachers, the educators call him the perfect master. The lawyers call him the advocate. In sociology, the sociologists call him the love of God and comforter. The photographers, like Brother Nathan, call him the image of God. The industrialists know him as a great supplier. In electrical engineer, he is called the light of the world. Church, he is God. Church, he is King. He is God over science. He is the one who put science together. He is the one that has power over science. I'm here to let us know that he is God that defies the odd. I'm here to let the chemists know that he reigns over chemistry. He turned water into wine. I am here to let the biologists know that Jesus reigns over biology. He was born without the normal biological laws of conception. I want to let the physicists know, hallelujah, that Jesus reigns over physics. He defied the laws of gravity by walking on water. Hallelujah. And by ascending into heaven. I am here in this economic hard time to let the economists of the world know that Jesus Christ reigns over economy, reigns over economics, reigns over business. Jesus disapproves the law of diminishing return by feeding 5,000 men with 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. I'm here to let the physicians of the world know that Jesus reigns over medical science. That he reigns over pathology. That he reigns over microbiology. That he reigns over pharmacology. Our Jesus that we're preaching about at 65 right now cured his sick and healed the blind man without administering a single dose of drugs. By his power, by his healing grace, he healed the sick. Holy Ghost vaccine. Hallelujah. He's a healer. And if you want to test him, even when one man died after he was sick for 4 days, even when they probably don't start planning the funeral, paper don't write up, death announcement don't gone out, then put him behind a tomb. Everybody don't give up all hope. I have news for you that Jesus came up to that tomb and he said, roll with that stone. Roll with that stone. Somebody help me roll some stones. Whatever stones that 2020. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would have brought to block you from living. We roll with a stone. And Jesus called on the man. It's not the cameraman. Although his name is Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says that there, hallelujah, arose Lazarus. And Jesus said, take away the grave clothes. Hallelujah. And even when Lazarus was dead for 4 days, Lazarus came forth. This is the Jesus. This is the God. This is the Christ. He is the resurrection and the life. He is power and authority. He is dominion, God of life, God of death. This is the Christ. Over every crisis. Can we stand all over this place? Hey. Psalmist said, boast. I will make a boast. I will make a boast. Church, you have to make your boast. You have to make your boast in the Lord. Church, he's the Christ of Christmas. Over crises. No matter what you're going through. He is God. He is God. He is 100% man. 100% God. Isaiah announced prophetically. He made a prophetic announcement of his powerful authority and his powerful attributes. We lift our hands over this place. We lift our hands over this place. And we just honor him. We just honor him. With this word, we can go forth giving God thanks and giving God praise.